Galatians chapter 5. And before we get to any of that, I have a couple announcements. There's still Christmas cards to sign. If you ladies haven't done that yet, please do it. They're in the copy room, and that's for the missionary wives in South Africa and also Fiji. Okay, those Christmas cards. And also, we need to have ensemble practice after church. We missed it between services, so if you are in that mixed ensemble, please be here for that practice. And then we are going to be having a wedding reception for Job and Sabrina. And it's kind of a combination wedding reception, welcome reception to Sabrina. But that's going to be this Saturday, November 2nd at 2 p.m. here at the church. All right. And so we'll be congratulating them. They were married October 12th, and it's just an opportunity for us as a church to congratulate them and thank the Lord for bringing them together, and also welcome Sabrina to the church as well. And so that's going to be this Saturday, 2 p.m. here at the church. Ladies, I need for you to meet with Julie Hickman after church today over in the fellowship hall. All of you ladies, please meet with her. And she has a few things to share with you. So meet over there in the fellowship hall, please. It's just be a short, quick meeting, she said. So I'm going to take her at her word. And then she's not like a preacher who says, I won't keep you long. But he ends up keeping you long. I'm just going to trust that she's not going to do that. Right, Julie? Anyway, ladies, meet with her after church, okay? And we also need to have ensemble practice as well. And we'll pray for you that go to Pioneer Home. I realize that is this afternoon, too, and if you have that responsibility, certainly do not miss that or forsake that for these other things, okay? Galatians 5, verse 22, please. The Bible says, Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now turn over to James 3 and verse 17. James 3. In verse 17, the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We're going to focus in on this character quality and fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. Talked about it this morning, that in the life of Christ, Jesus Christ was gentle. He was meek. He was lowly. And we're going to consider this subject of gentleness as a character quality that the Spirit of God wants to produce in us as well. We're going to pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to apply your word in our life, and Lord, to line our life up with your word and examine areas of our life that are contrary to God's word, and Lord, to have a heart and a mind to submit and surrender to you, that, Lord, you might produce Christ's likeness in us. And Lord, through the message this afternoon, Lord, I pray that there would be truth for us to glean, that we might be quick then to apply it in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Gentleness, Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit, it's what the Spirit of God produces. One of those things is gentleness. Gentleness simply means kindness. The same Greek word in the New Testament that is translated as gentleness is often also translated as kindness in the New Testament. And this is a character quality. Again, we'll talk about this, but that Jesus Christ possessed. It's been said that a person's position is often not as offensive as a person's disposition. Meaning, you can take and hold a position on something, and usually that is not, your position is not as offensive often as your disposition about the position that you hold. The position you take on a certain thing so often is not the cause of the offense. It's the disposition about it that causes the offense. And how we treat and how we act toward others can make all the difference in the world when it comes to actually talking about what we believe. A lot of people don't want to hear what you believe. And it's not necessarily because of what you believe, but it's because of the attitude behind it, or the disposition about it. I was reading a commentary on Galatians 5:22, actually, and it said this about gentleness, and also included in it goodness, because you see that the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And it said, gentleness and goodness speak of the quality of being upright and thoughtful in the way that we behave towards others so as to be positively beneficial to them. The third quality in this category, that of goodness, seems at first glance to be similar. The words in Greek, in fact, can be both translated as goodness and gentleness, but there's a subtle difference between them. The word translated goodness speaks here of the moral impulse that seeks what God would want from someone else or seeks what God would desire in a particular circumstance, while the word translated as gentleness or kindness refers more to the manner in which the goodness is sought. Do you follow that? They're similar. Goodness is desiring what God wants, but gentleness is the manner in which that goodness is sought. And these two actually balance each other out. We all know of certain Christians who we could characterize them as people who are earnest in their pursuit of God. They want God's will for themselves. They want God's will in the lives of other people. They're very earnest about that, but who at the same time would often fail to be gracious and kind in the way that they pursue that. And they mean well, but all too often they tend to leave a lot of hurt and embittered people in their wake. That was not the character quality of Jesus Christ. And this commentary went on to say that the twin qualities of kindness and goodness are very important balances to one another. Why? Because goodness insists on that which is good, but kindness tempers the way in which such a pursuit is engaged, so that people are actually genuinely blessed and benefited and built up by that pursuit of goodness. Now, kindness without goodness could be wimpy and accommodating toward sin, compromising, but goodness without kindness can be harsh and legalistic towards people. And then it doesn't actually benefit. And we would simply say, praise God that the Holy Spirit of God wants to produce both of those things in our life. Amen? And He will if He rules our life. An example of goodness and gentleness and kindness together would be Daniel. Remember how the Bible says that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He had some conviction about that. But at the same time, the Bible tells us that he still requested instead of demanded. The Bible says in Daniel 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He made a relationship with the prince of the eunuchs and demonstrated some gentleness there, and he was able to see God's will in his own life. And so the point is that goodness is a good quality. It's upright. It's desiring what's right. But kindness or gentleness is the balance to that and is actually a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Gentleness simply means kindness displayed in a sweet disposition. It means moral excellence in demeanor. And that applies to all areas of our relationships to others. The first thing that I want to point out to you from the Word of God this afternoon is that gentleness originated with God Himself. Gentleness originated with God Himself. Gentleness comes from God. The fruit of God, the Spirit, is gentleness. Every one of the fruits of the Spirit are not only what God does, but what God is. God is love. Gentleness or kindness, as it's defined, is simply God's character. It's who He is. He's a God of great kindness, the Bible says. Nehemiah chapter 9 in verse 16 says, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and their rebellion appointed, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." Even in their rebellion and their refusal to obey the Lord, in hardening their necks, God is demonstrated as a God of great kindness. I think He demonstrates that to us regularly. Amen. How often do we get stiff-necked and hard-hearted and rebellious? And yet God is so kind to us in not giving us exactly what we deserve. The Bible says that God is a God of everlasting kindness. We're talking about gentleness here, but it's the same thing as kindness. It's the same word. He's a God of everlasting kindness. Isaiah 54 and verse 8 says, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." He's a God of great kindness. He's a God of everlasting kindness. He's a God of merciful kindness. Psalm 117:2 says, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." His merciful kindness is great towards us. Psalm 119:76 says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." You know, God's merciful kindness can be a comfort to us, especially when we've messed up. You know, we can understand our own frailties sometimes. We can understand the ways in which we dishonor the Lord or we fail the Lord, and we could have a tendency to want to beat ourselves up and kick ourselves when we're down, as if somehow we're supposed to be perfect. But it's the kindness of the Lord, the merciful kindness of the Lord, that can be a great comfort to us. When we repent and we turn back to the Lord, God extends mercy and comfort. Amen? The devil wants nothing more than to cause us to wallow in self-pity or to keep kicking ourselves when we're down. The devil wants to defeat us that way. But God says, "My kindness is merciful, it's everlasting, it's great." And the psalmist says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word." He's a God of marvelous kindness. Psalm 31 and verse 21 says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." Turn over to Luke chapter 6 with me. Gentleness or kindness originates with God. This is who He is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. God the Spirit, He is gentle. It's not just what God does, it's what He is. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 35, the Bible says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Here the Bible states that God is kind. He's kind even to who? According to this text, even to the unthankful. God is still kind. How do you want to treat somebody who demonstrates unthankfulness? "I don't want to do anything for you anymore." And yet God is very kind when we are unthankful towards Him. Sometimes children can be unthankful. They have so much that's done for them and given to them, and they have a tendency to complain because it's not exactly what they want, and they demonstrate this unthankful attitude. And it is good for parents to highlight that and draw it out and to teach and to show. You're being very unthankful. And when you're unthankful, it causes me to not want to do anything for you because you don't appreciate it. But you know what? So often we are the same way with God. And yet God is still kind, even to the unthankful. It's who God is. And Jesus gives the instruction here in verse 36, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Following the example of Christ, and as children of God, we should do as He has done, and it will be displayed in our life if we are filled with the Spirit, if there's a Spirit-filled life. So gentleness originates with God, but secondly, gentleness or kindness is also a command of God. Go to Titus chapter 1 with me. Titus chapter 1. It's not something that is a good suggestion that the Lord recommends. He commands it. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." I don't think that's the right verse. Yeah, go over to chapter 3 now, okay? So that sets the stage. Paul says, I left you in Crete to Titus. I left you here so that you could set in order the things that are wanting. All right? You get over to chapter 3 and verse 1, and Paul instructs to Titus, "Put them, the people, in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Here's the instruction that Paul gives to Titus to teach the church, put them in mind of these things, that they would be subject to these and obey the magistrates, to how to treat other people, to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. These are things that are commanded of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, we were here already today, and we've been here a couple of different times. There's just a lot of truth for Christian living and how we ought to relate to each other. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness," same as gentleness, "humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." These are instructions for the new man as opposed to the old man in the flesh. He's not gentle or kind, and there are a lot of things that keep us from being gentle in our relationships, like pride, for example, selfishness, greed, and a host of other things. And yet, it is commanded of God that we treat others with gentleness and with kindness and with a sweet disposition. I think one of the places that we fail the most in this area is in our relationships with our own families. So often, our disposition towards one another is anything but Christ-like, anything but filled with the Spirit of God. James chapter 3, go back over there. Let's read that verse again in James 3. Because James 3 in verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." Those are works of the flesh. If there's envy, there's strife in the relationship. That's not from above. That's not of God. That's the old man. That's the flesh. And verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Godly wisdom is pure, it is peaceable, and it is gentle according to the Word of God. It's something that God commands of His people. Pure, it simply means innocent or clean. It's in reference to our word and our deed. It deals with the motives behind what we do, behind what we say, our motive in word or deed. Listen, it always should be to the glory of God, and it always should be to build up others to whom we are speaking. That's what it ought to be. Sadly, it's not in so many cases. We especially need to keep this in mind when we're dealing with people that we don't agree with. You know, I've said it before, it's easy to want to win an argument, but we can surely destroy the person with whom we are disagreeing if we don't have gentleness and the Spirit of God controlling our thoughts and our tongue. Often we'll excuse our pride in a disagreement because what does the Bible say? Only by pride cometh contention, right? We'll often excuse our pride by telling ourselves that, well, I'm contending for what's right. I'm right in this. Might be right, but if we're not handling it right, there might be goodness, a desire for the right, but if there's not the gentleness that goes along with it, you understand? No one has actually benefited. No one has actually helped. James 3 says that God's wisdom is pure, it's peaceable. That's the Greek word to pacify, seeking peace in relationships. Listen, that's not a minor thing in the Bible. It's gentle. One commentary I read gave some insight into this thought too. The man with gentleness knows how to forgive when strict justice gives him the perfect right to condemn. Gentleness is not only something that God is, but it's something that God commands in the lives of His people. And thirdly, let's just consider here for just a moment areas where gentleness or kindness is required, because we know it's commanded of the Lord. So let's consider some areas where gentleness or kindness is required. What does gentleness do? Because gentleness is not just a word, but it's an action, isn't it? Gentleness can be demonstrated in all kinds of areas. So what does it do? It ought to be the practical application of it in our life is demonstrated in many places. For example, in the area of forgiveness of others. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32, the verse we should all memorize. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Gentleness can be exhibited in this area of forgiveness. You know, we can be harsh, we can be unforgiving over offenses, especially in a marriage relationship or any other kind of relationship. When there's a tendency to not let go of past offenses and let the past go, but to hold on to it and to bring it up or to have it continually influence and affect the way that we interact and respond, we are not operating with gentleness or kindness as required by the Lord. The Word of God says to be kind, kindness. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Holding on to past offenses brings about harshness and an unforgiving spirit. And it's not of the Lord. We can see that kindness or gentleness in the area of forgiveness is so necessary. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. in the area of loving, truly godly loving other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 tells us that charity or love, it suffereth long. It just simply means long suffering. It's patient. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Real godly love is kind. Gentleness, kindness. Not harsh in our dealings or in our responses to other people. Go to Proverbs chapter 31 with me. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 26, speaking of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 21 or 31 in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's pretty powerful. It's a mark, one of the marks of a woman who is virtuous. When she opens her mouth, it's with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness, not mean. Snide comments, retaliating comments, firing back when you feel someone's slighted you, those are not reflections of the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, kindness. I know that none of us are perfect. And I also know that human nature is always the same. And this is one of those areas that we constantly need to be reminded of by the Spirit of God. Because the fact is, we're all going to say things at different times to different people that are going to be offensive. We're all going to do things at different times that are offensive. How we respond to it, how we speak to others, how we love others, how we forgive others, so much demands gentleness and kindness. It demands the fruit of the Spirit of God in us. These are all areas in which kindness is required. What is gentleness? At the core, well, scripturally, it's the fruit of the Spirit. We read that in Galatians 5:22. It's part of godly wisdom. We read that in James chapter 3 in verse 17. Gentleness is simply kindness that is being displayed, lived out in your life because of the Spirit of God controlling you. It's a godly quality of gentleness that needs to be displayed towards others, especially in personal conflicts. And man, there would be so many problems that would be greatly minimized. Relationships could blossom, can grow. The devil won't get victory over us to disrupt the Lord's work if we would ask the Lord, Lord, produce this in me. Your character quality of gentleness and kindness. Man, we can demand to be right and have a passion for goodness, which is good. Having some convictions about being right. Those are all good things. But if we leave a trail of you know, hurt and embittered people in our wake because of how we go about this goodness, then no one is actually being helped. No one is actually being benefited. And there's a time to say, no, this is right. But there's also a time to do it in the spirit of gentleness as well. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of that. And let's ask the Lord to help us, amen, that conflicts would be minimized, that relationships would benefit and grow, that Satan would not get victory and disrupt the Lord's work in our own life. Everybody wants a good, sweet relationship. Everybody wants that. But it can't be done in pride. And how we go about our demeanor, how we go about expressing truth, so often makes the difference in whether or not someone will actually receive it and be benefited by it. So Lord, help me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that You'd, Lord, help us to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we need to just be surrendered and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God to walk in the Spirit. And You will produce Your character in and through us. This area of gentleness is so necessary in relationships. And relationships so often are the key to even the blessing of God, because without unity in the body, without harmony in those relationships, the Spirit of God is grieved. And Lord, I pray that You would guard us against that. And Lord, may we be quick to line our own life up with the Word of God. Even in these moments, we can just take a minute and reflect. How do I respond to my spouse? How do I respond to my children or to others? And Lord, is there some correction, a different way of thinking, a different way of responding that needs to be produced in me? It's not okay to justify ourselves and say, well, it's just me, that's just who I am. Well, maybe there are some things that the Lord wants to change about us so that we accurately reflect Him. And may we be submitted to that process in our life. Bless Your people. Thank You for the day. Thank You for these examples in Scripture today that we can chew on, and they're ready-made examples for our own living. And Lord, I pray that You take and bless Your people and then use them for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.